Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. President Obama made his move on housing yesterday. Speaking in Arizona, he laid out the plan's ambitious $275 billion to help with 9 million homeowners, and it has limits.
This plan will not save every home, but it will give millions of families resigned to financial ruin a chance to rebuild.
We're taking a close look today. Just who will the plan help, and who does it leave out? Is it enough or too much, and does it bail out speculators? This hour on Point, Obama's housing plan, and what's next for homeowners. You can join our conversation. What do you think of the plan? Are you encouraged or confused? Joining me first from Washington, D.C. is Michael Crittenden. He covers economic news out of Washington for Dow Jones. Michael, nice to have you. Thank you.
Hi.
There are two sets of homeowners mentioned in President Obama's plan. Break this down for us. Would you 4 to 5 million homeowners who are at the greatest risk of losing their home or in this first group, what does this plan do for them?
Well, what it does is a lot of these people, because their home value has fallen, there's like an 80% threshold debt to, you know, be able to refinance and equity. So what they're trying to do is these people who right now want to refinance are trying to refinance into, you know, affordable loans can't. So what they're going to do is they're going to use Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are under government control, so they can really use those any way they want. They're going to allow these people to refinance into cheaper mortgages that they will be able to afford and hopefully maintain their homes.
Mm. So what about the next group, the 3 to 4 million whose homes are underwater, meaning their homes are worth less than they're paying for them? What about them?
Well, the idea with those folks is it's sort of they're finally putting pressure on the lenders and giving lenders incentives to work with these people before they even go into foreclosure, before they even start that process. Because once you start that process, it's very formal and there's really less options. So before some of these folks even go into foreclosure, what they want to do is get the lenders to start lowering their interest rate so that, you know, your debt to income. So the amount of money I'm bringing in each month compared to my mortgage payment, they want to lower that to 38%. And then after they reach that point, the government will do a 50-50 share to get that down to 31%. So we're talking about really lowering people's monthly payments.
Mm. So how much money, generally speaking, obviously it varies, but how much money might this plan save homeowners every month?
Well, they gave various examples yesterday, but, I mean, we're talking like, you know, if we can lower someone's payment monthly by $500, I mean, that's, you know, for your average homeowner, you know, say on a $200-something thousand home or mortgage, that's going to make a significant difference. Plus, there's other incentives in the plan so that if I'm a borrower and I keep making my monthly payments, they're going to give me additional money up to $5,000 over 5 years that will just go straight to reducing the principal on my loan. So there's a lot of different working parts here. There's incentives for lenders. If their loan modification works, then they get payments as well. So they're just trying to encourage everyone. You know, it's a much more ambitious attempt to deal with this.
But it doesn't save everybody, as ambitious as it is, does it?
No, and I mean, there's no way you could design a program short of just buying everyone's mortgage and starting all over, which, of course, no one's talking about. So it's not going to help everyone. There's some folks who are just, you know, they probably lost their jobs. It's a recession. They got in way over their heads. Some people are going to lose their homes. And I mean, but that's not, from a policy perspective, that's not necessarily a bad thing because not everyone can own a home. I mean, some people it's more appropriate to be renters, and I think, you know, things got so overheated that some people who traditionally wouldn't be homeowners and would be better off renting got in, you know, over their heads. So it's not going to help them. It's also probably not going to help speculators. One of the things that the Obama administration and the Bush administration really have focused on is not helping people that are just trying to flip a home.
Where are these billions of dollars coming from? Is any of this money from the bank bailout?
Yeah, there. I mean, it depends on how they structure it, but about $50 billion of this is likely to come from the $700 billion bailout. the Obama administration had said weeks ago that that's the amount they wanted to commit. Plus, they have other money with Fannie and Freddie selling debt. That, you know, there's various ways they can raise this money, but in all, about $75 billion for the program to help people, help underwater borrowers. The additional $200 billion is extra guarantees for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, allowing them to expand their portfolios. I mean, the whole idea here is just to encourage liquidity in the market so that people can refinance, people can get cheaper mortgages.
And so when might we see impact from this new housing plan?
That's a great question. I mean, they're still finalizing guidelines, who's going to be eligibility requirements. I mean, this is not, it's not like they can just start this immediately. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac can work on that first part of the program to help start refinancing people. So that's a little bit easier. So, I mean, you're not going to see a major change in the next month, but we've now gone 2 years in basically a housing crisis with no real solid attempt by Washington to deal with it. So now that we finally have a solid attempt to deal with it, things should, if it's structured right, and I think that's the one uncertainty.
Michael Crittenden covers economic news out of Washington for Dow Jones. Thank you very much for your information, Michael.
Thank you.
I'd like to hear now from President Obama. Yesterday, in Mesa, Arizona, he described the three main parts of his housing plan.
The plan I'm announcing focuses on rescuing families who played by the rules and acted responsibly by refinancing loans for millions of families in traditional mortgages who are underwater or close to it, by modifying loans for families stuck in subprime mortgages they can't afford as a result of skyrocketing interest rates or personal misfortune, and by taking broader steps to keep mortgage rates low so that families can secure loans with affordable monthly payments.
Joining me now to talk about all that from New York City is Robert Shiller. He's a professor of economics at Yale and a national authority on the economics of housing and real estate. He collaborates with economist Carl Case to produce the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, the most widely used database of housing prices in the United States. He's also co-founder and chief economist at Macro Markets, an investment bank that specializes in real estate. His books include The New Financial Order and The Subprime Solution, How Today's Global Financial Crisis Happened and What to Do About It. Robert Shiller, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Thank you for being here. And joining us also from Laguna Beach, California, is Susan Wachter. She's professor of finance and real estate at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School and co-director of the Penn Institute for Urban Research. Susan Wachter, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
So, Robert Shiller, let me begin with you. What's your initial reaction? Does President Obama's housing plan address the scale of this housing problem?
Well, I would say that the plan shows signs of some smart and creative people who are working on new ways of dealing with this crisis. But I don't think it's big enough. And I also wish that it would think more about the long term. These are crisis patches that we're seeing.
What do you think, Susan Wachter? Is this plan big enough?
No, it's not big enough. I agree with Bob. And there is an interim issue as well. I certainly think we have to have a long-run solution. That will help us in the short run, too. But there's an interim problem as well. It relies on the banks, and it relies voluntarily on bank actions. Now, that may be a waffle word. There may be more abilities to direct what banks do going forward. That will be key.
Talk about more about that, Robert Shiller. This plan relies on the banks. Are we letting banks off the hook here, banks that made bad loans in the first place?
Well, this doesn't sound like it's a bailout for banks. It is focused. And the thing I like about it, it is focused on homeowners who are in trouble, particularly the stabilization. The Housing Stabilization Initiative, which was the $75 billion part of this, is aimed, it seems to be, locating struggling but responsible homeowners. And it's going to look at people, not the banks so much. And it's going to be reducing loan payments to 31% of a household income. So that means that they have to be looking at each household, establishing their income, and making it affordable for them. This is a really different approach than we've seen now, which has emphasized bailing out huge institutions.
So how do you do that, Susan Wachter, on a practical level?
Well, it's going to take effort, time, and it's not going to be able to roll out instantaneously. And it's also going to take will. While it is the agency that's doing this is not the federal government, it is bank lending officers, and they will have to have the directives to make these loans and to make the modifications.
Let's talk about the practicalities here. Who will hire the team to restructure these loans? Is it the government? Is it the banks themselves? Robert Shiller?
Well, part of this, the affordability part, is working through Fannie and Freddie that are now under government conservatorship, and it sounds like people there will be involved. I don't know all the details of how they're going to make this work, but I think that the government can. I like to compare it with what we did in the Great Depression in 1933. The United States government created the Homeowners Loan Corporation, which is doing something like this plan here. It was bigger, and they set up 400 offices around the country where people in trouble with their mortgages could go. And they ultimately, within a year and a half, they bailed out 20% of all U.S. mortgage holders. So we've done it before, and that was the right thing. That was one of the good sides of the Roosevelt administration. They were dealing with the individual problems, and I'm glad to see that we're starting to do something like that now.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the details of President Obama's housing plan. We're joined this hour by top economists Robert Shiller and Susan Wachter. Some homeowners were cheered by the Obama's administration's announcement. Here's Gary Robinson speaking to ABC News last night.
I just thought it covered a lot of situations for home buyers, and I was happy to see that it laid out different scenarios. It left me with a good feeling.
But here's a frustrated homeowner who told ABC's Good Morning America this morning that he was concerned that the housing plan would reward those who made bad decisions and punish those who played by the rules.
I hesitate to say angry, but I'm resentful. We've been planning ahead, moving forward, and doing the right thing, and we're getting nothing for it. They say there's no such thing as a free lunch, and for us that's true, but other people are eating well.
What about that, Robert Shiller? Those people who paid their mortgages on time, who saved and scrimped and may have lost their jobs anyway, but played by the rules. Does this plan hurt them? Does it punish them?
Well, it's going to hurt somebody, probably, because it has to be paid for. And politicians don't like to bring that up. You know, you say, maybe not, because of the stimulus this might give to the economy, it could kind of pay us all back. That's what was claimed. I mentioned the Homeowners Loan Corporation. In the Great Depression, they set that up, and it bailed out huge numbers of households. But it claimed at the end to have lost no money for the taxpayer because it helped bring on a recovery, and the recovery made it all come out all right. So that's the conundrum. We really have to be – we can't just be real estate economists here. We have to be – if I'm using jargon here, macroeconomists. But what I mean is we have to think about how it's going to help this whole economic slump. And we all share a gain if we can get out of the slump.
Mm. Susan Wachter, the president said that this plan will not rescue the unscrupulous and the irresponsible. Those were his words, that it will not throw good taxpayer money after bad loans. I mean, how do you chisel that out, though? Back to that original question. How do you determine who played by the rules and who didn't? Who deserves help and who doesn't?
We should be clear here that borrowers who are underwater having trouble making payments that this plan will help were not doing anything illegal. They were playing by the rules. The mortgages that they borrowed were, in fact, legal instruments. Our regulators, in a sense, approved them. So we shouldn't go too far down the line. They undoubtedly took risk that others did not. And in the end, we are all paying for that risk.
President Obama addressed that point, those Americans who were not playing by the rules, who were speculating and involved in risky business making. Here he is.
But I want to be very clear about what this plan will not do. It will not rescue the unscrupulous or irresponsible by throwing good taxpayer money after bad loans.
Susan Wachter, this bill is not for speculators. Where does this leave them?
Well, certainly those who purchase such loans for second homes, et cetera, are not going to be helped. But indeed, we are all going to be helped to the extent that this plummeting housing prices is pulling the entire economy down. That needs to be reversed. We need to shore up the housing market. That's really the major sector in trouble right now. We're not going to have a recovery in the overall economy without addressing housing. And this does so. And let me go back. The impact clearly is not going to be immediate, especially through the banking system, because that's going to require many, many agencies, many banks to come on board. This is not like the Homeowners Loan Corporation, which was a government program entirely. There is a piece of it that is, and that's the piece that's going through Fannie and Freddie. And that should come online immediately on March 4th when the program is implemented. That will be an immediate help.
Back to your point, Susan, about the broader housing market. Robert Shiller, what about those who say that this plan actually prolongs the housing downturn and keeps housing prices artificially inflated? Is that true? Is there a downside here?
Well, it's very hard to control home prices, let me say that at the beginning, or any speculative price. And in fact, the government in the past had a policy of hands off. They wouldn't say do anything. We went through the biggest home price boom in the U.S. history, or I might say world history. This is repeated in other countries as well. And now we are in a kind of a funk. Our animal spirits have been deflated. And that is a fundamental problem that I don't know how the government can control these things. It's difficult. I'm glad that we have a plan that does show concern about the problem that many people are facing, and that's a step forward.
Let's look at this plan from the standpoint of a homeowner, and for that we bring our callers in. John is on the line first from New Haven, Connecticut. John, thank you for waiting. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. My question is this. I mean, my concern is I've been trying to refinance, and I've quote-unquote got underwater because of the adjustable rate, and that made me late on my mortgage for 2 months. Now I have what they say a credit score that doesn't qualify. I mean, Fannie and Freddie Mac credit requirements, is the government going to change them and dramatically? That's my issue. Now I can't refinance because of my score.
John, thank you. Robert Shiller, John's underwater.
Well,
what does he do?
Yeah, now it's interesting, and I don't know the exact answer, but reading the fact sheet that the president distributed, he talks about responsible homeowners. It's only aimed at responsible homeowners. Now, what does that mean? It's not explained. I'm hopeful that John in New Haven will qualify as a responsible homeowner. On top of that, the plan says that the affordability help will come only to people whose loans were conforming loans held or guaranteed by Fannie and Freddie. I doubt that John knows whether he's in that category or not. But maybe he could qualify as a struggling homeowner. But he still has to be responsible. You know, a lot of people are going to fall through the cracks, and I don't know if, you know, we can tell John, is he going to make it or not under this plan? It's for a limited number of people, and some people are not going to like the way this thing is implemented.
Susan Wachter, help us understand for those people who are behind on their loans, how will this plan help them?
Well, it is a question. Absolutely. We don't know who's going to be helped and who's not. Unless you are a Fannie Freddie borrower who clearly meets the criteria, this other struggling homeowner assistance is going to be a one-by-one determination. The key here is how much banks are going to be incentivized to work with folks like John in New Haven, and hopefully they will be.
Well, what sort of incentives are there for banks, for lenders?
There are incentives. The banks are in the plan itself. The banks are being asked to lower the mortgage payments from 38% to 38% from wherever they are, and then from 38% down to 31%, the government will participate. So the government will share in the cost of those interest rate reductions. And there may also be other incentives. For example, if a bank participates in the TARP program, they will be, quote-unquote, required to modify loans along these lines. And going forward with, not in this program, but previous presidential announcement, banks will be required to do a stress test. Perhaps more banks will find themselves in the TARP program as a result of that.
Here's another call from Long Island, New York. Dave is on the line. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
My point is that I've been keeping statistics on foreclosures in New York since 2001, and we've seen this coming since 2005. I guess the question I have is that if the banks are putting these houses to auction, and I attend quite a few of them, they're losing $200,000-$300,000 on each property that they're taking back. Wouldn't it be advisable for them to just take a, let's say, 1% interest? As long as they're getting paid and it's still somewhat of a performing loan, they would not have to take that type of hit, and it would also stem the tide of real estate that is become inventory.
Dave, thank you. Robert Schiller, what do you think?
Well, that's true. Mortgage holders often benefit from reducing the payments or the even the principal on the mortgage. One of the problems we're facing, though, is that a lot of mortgages are securitized and divided up into tranches and sent all over the world. And the servicing of the mortgage is another party that's doing that. The servicer often feels restricted by the servicing contract and unable to make the adjustment. So there is a possibility that, and this is something that another step that could be taken, that we arrange some kind of mechanism to get these people doing things that are even in their own interest to lower the payments on mortgages. That's something yet again to do.
Susan Wachter, who's going to initiate the restructuring of these loans? The borrower, the lender, and how will the Obama administration get the word out to struggling homeowners?
The borrower needs to initiate this and go to the banks or mortgage lender, and of course that's a big step. So getting the word out is going to be absolutely critical here. And to get back to last caller, the big issue here is, yes, indeed, we have too many foreclosures. The problem is that servicers not only have conflicts of interest, they also are not incentivized to work out the loans. It's actually less expensive for them to take mortgages to foreclosure than to modify. That needs to be addressed.
Robert Schiller, will it be?
Incidentally, you talked about getting the word out. In my book, Subprime Solution, I said that really an important part of national policy is to get financial advice to the people. And I think the government, that should have been part of the economic stimulus plan. Let's get financial advisors. What we should have, every family should have a financial advisor, and that advisor would be on the phone calling you up right now and saying, hey, get on over to that bank and start applying for this help.
And actually,
but people don't have that.
There is a component of that, Bob, as part of this. HUD counseling for free is part of the proposal. It's out there. It's as of
I want it to be
available.
General.
Of course, HUD counselors for free, they're going to have to ramp that up, and they're going to need to get the word out.
Here's another call from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Steve is on the line. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I'm calling to I know there's a lot of really troubling stories about foreclosures out there, but this plan, to me, it seems like a another way of just propping up the banks by making sure people send in their mortgage payments on asset values that are declining. And in many cases, they might be their financial advisors might tell them to just walk away and send in the keys and rent. And this question leads into a lot of the larger issues you're talking about. Professor Schiller compared this plan to the Great Depression, but in the Great Depression, the asset price bubble was in stocks, not homes. Now you've got a bubble crashing in home values, and there's to think that the government can step in and sweep back the ocean and stop that is just crazy talk. That'll never happen. And so is it really, from a macroeconomic sense, is it really good macroeconomically to have people sending in mortgage payments on declining asset values to prop up zombie banks that should go bankrupt? This plan seems like a way of implementing that rather than really helping people who should be walking away.
Steve, thank you. Professor Schiller, will you respond?
Well, he asked this, a very complicated question. I don't know where to begin. First of all, we did have a bubble in home prices in the great before the Great Depression, although it peaked in 26, but home prices had fallen 30% by 1933, and that was very much a part of the Depression. The question is whether we should be propping up banks, and ultimately the answer in the long run is no. This is a capitalist economy. The only reason we're doing help to the banks is because of this systemic failure, which caught everyone by surprise, and it is so bad that we can't see relying on our capitalist rules. But what I emphasized in my book, Subprime Solution, is we really have to move toward market structures that are better, that won't create this kind of problem in the future. For example, we need different kinds of mortgages that are protective of homeowners.
Susan Wachter, how closely will the government oversee this particular plan?
Well, they'll certainly oversee the Fannie Freddie portion of it. They are now under conservatorship, effectively being run by the government. And that portion is, I think, extremely good assistance and help and very clear-cut. If your mortgage is a Fannie Freddie mortgage, refinance now, even if the mortgage amount is greater than price of the value of the home to the amount of 105%. So that's very explicit. Those whose homes who are more underwater will not be assisted through the Fannie Freddie. But indeed, in some sense, we all will be assisted because I don't agree with Steve, the last caller. The problem is that markets can not only overshoot as they did, but they can on the upside, they can overshoot on the downside as well. And that's happening right now. If we can bring liquidity back to help stop that, then, in fact, we are all winners. And, indeed, it will stop foreclosures that in the future that don't have to happen.
Here's another listener, Aaron, in Athens, Georgia. Aaron, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Hey, Jane. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is, what constitutes a struggling person? I'm 63 years old. I'm a registered nurse. I have a small pension. I worked for the VA for years. My husband and I sold our home, built our retirement home, put 30% down, and my husband's job went out. He had to take a buyout, and I'm working, you know, 60 hours a week, 63 years old as a nurse, which is not easy, and, you know, we're struggling.
Yeah.
We put a lot of money away in our 401k. Should I stop working so hard and become struggling?
Hmm. Aaron, thank you. Susan Wachter, would you respond?
For one, a good part of this plan is it is going to help those folks who are not defaulting today. And in fact, there are incentives there for those who are helped that if they don't redefault, they will be able to continue to participate in the plan and get some additional assistance. Now, all of this doesn't go to Jane's point, and I certainly hear her and empathize with her because she's not going to be helped from what I can understand, and yet she is paying for it along with all of us.
Robert Schiller, do you agree?
Yeah, Aaron brings up an interesting point about it. They're talking about reducing payments to 31% of your monthly income. But hey, that creates a moral hazard. I'm not going to work so hard, right, and I'll qualify for a better mortgage. That's a problem, and any of these systems creates a moral hazard. That's why we have to start thinking, and I say this again, this is a short-run plan. It's messy. It's clever, but it's messy. We have to start. The big job for the Obama administration is to create a long-term plan that will be fairer to people like Aaron and everyone in the country.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about President Obama's housing plan and the housing market's prospects for recovery. We're joined this hour by top economists Robert Schiller and Susan Wachter. Back to this point about the banks, Robert Schiller, are these mortgages addressed in President Obama's plan? Are they the toxic assets that we've been hearing so much about? And will this mean that the banks' toxic assets are a little less toxic now?
Well, the toxic assets refer typically to securitized mortgages. I suppose they also own to refer to the mortgage portfolio that banks have. Yes, it will help because part of these toxic asset problem is the defaulting mortgages which underlie the assets. The toxic asset problem, however, is bigger than that. it also reflects a liquidity crisis that has transformed the world economy. It's really a big problem. And that is that because of our loss of confidence, everyone has been selling, and lots of assets are have depressed prices and are often unable to sell them, and they don't even know what they're worth. That is a separate problem, which is overlaps with this housing problem.
Susan Wachter, do these refinanced loans now get taken off the books of these banks? Are they now just the balance sheets of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae?
Well, there are two set. There are really two plans in one here, and the Freddie loans are not really the issue in terms of the bank's toxic assets. The toxic assets of the banks are not in this plan being taken off the books. They are still on the bank's books, and that is a problem yet to be addressed. And I agree with Bob Jayne. This is the critical problem facing the nation, and it's a global problem as well.
Back to the phones now. James is in Lowell, Massachusetts. Hi, James. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
My concern is negative incentives that this might encourage in the populace, as it were. I and my wife, we've sacrificed a great deal, even working in other parts of the country, mm-hmm. To support our families at home and to ensure that we would have a decent place to live. And I don't see this plan serving my needs at all. As a matter of fact, what I'm really concerned about is how it's going to change the basic social and incentive structure of the country.
James, thank you. The ethics of this. We have so many callers who won't get on the show today who are concerned about this, the moral hazard of this. I mean, what are we saying as a country making these kinds of decisions? Susan Wachter?
It's a very, very difficult problem. It will help. James, it will help you, it will help me, it will help all of those who actually have made very careful, prudent decisions, but not at a but there will be a cost. But the problem is the cost of not doing something like this is even more severe for all those prudent people who have worked and are working. We are in the midst of a serious recession, and it is no sign of abating, and the housing problem is at the heart, and that is not showing signs of abating. So these are very difficult choices. I think what it means is that going forward, we protect people against bad choices. People make bad choices by simply limiting choices, or at least putting speed bumps in the road to have people stop and consider, especially when the choices can harm all of us. And those kind of regulatory oversight was clearly missing in this episode and has to be addressed going forward.
Robert Schiller, how do you respond, especially to our caller James?
I have another book with George Akerlof called Animal Spirits, which is just coming out right now. And we emphasize that economic problems that face the nation are really tied up with our sense of fairness and our sense that we've been taken advantage of.
Yes.
And that is what James is expressing, and he's right. You know, we were fed a line. We were in a boom situation a few years ago, and we were getting lines from lots of people who had financial incentives to tell you this story that home prices are always going to go up. Take out my mortgage. You'll be thankful you did it. You'll be rich. And now we're seeing a collapse, and people are angry. And I think James is right. We have to be concerned about the plan being basically fair. Unfortunately, we're in a mess, and I don't see how this government can make it fair to everyone. I think the important thing is that we're not grossly unfair to anyone. Some people are going to feel that, well, you know, it didn't help me, but at least this person is okay. We cannot let the problem that's really happening now is we have millions of people being thrown out of their houses. And in most cases, it's not their fault. And so, you know, we just kind of have to get through this messy situation and get as much good feeling preserved as possible.
And this is a prudent plan, and we should not make it seem as though the taxpayer is going to be extraordinarily on the hook for this. It's $75 billion, which in the scheme of all that is being spent to get us out of this recession, and indeed must be, it's a small amount.
Well, let's hear more about that from President Obama in a speech yesterday. He said that the housing crisis could not be addressed completely separately from the larger financial crisis.
This plan must be viewed in a larger context. A lost home often begins with a lost job. Many businesses have laid off workers for a lack of revenue and available capital. Credit has become scarce as markets have been overwhelmed by the collapse of securities backed by failing mortgages. In the end, the home mortgage crisis, the financial crisis, and this broader economic crisis are all interconnected. We can't successfully address any one of them without addressing them all.
You must certainly agree, Robert Shiller.
Yes, because this is it's the kind of problem that economists have trouble figuring out, because it fits into every segment of the economy, and it's got us alarmed. People don't know what things are worth anymore. They don't know what their future, whether they'll have a job in the future, and anything that even our country does is still only part of a huge world problem. So we have to worry about what the Mexican government is doing, what the British government is doing. And so it is a large context problem, and unfortunately it's difficult to be precise about what we should do in such a difficult situation.
Roger is on the line from Hector, New York. Roger, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I'm a farmer in Hector, New York, and I went to get a new mortgage in December. They offered me 5%. I've got an 800 credit rating. I'm not sure what to do now. Mm. I didn't sign up for the mortgage because Obama, people have led me to believe that 4% may be down the line. Mm. The more shows we have like this with experts telling us that their programs are clever and interesting, the more America waits to see how this is going to shake out. Mm. My point is this. President Obama has 100 days. He's 30 days into the program. He should have had some ideas when he took the job. For instance, why wouldn't we go back to what has always served Americans well? Let people apply for 4% mortgages today. The banks would process. Fannie and Freddie would hold the notes. And basically, let's begin to flush out all the mortgages that are out there. What a simple plan.
Roger, thank you. I appreciate your call. We have lots of others lined up. I'm sorry to cut you off. Susan Wachter, would you respond? Roger sounds like many who are confused and slightly angry, sounds like.
Well, Roger has already taken advantage of a government plan. The 5% Fannie and Freddie would not have been there but for the government's initiative to shore up Fannie and Freddie and the conservatorship and the steps of the Treasury to bring funds in. And the additional $200 billion will maintain those historically low mortgage rates for those who qualify for Fannie Freddie loans. That's a good thing. But, you know, we can't simply mandate interest rates falling. Those are determined in global financial markets. Wish that we could.
But he did take advantage of it, right? He was waiting for the lower and lower rates.
Yeah, now, wishes that we'd be down to 4%. So do we all.
Here's another call from Roy in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Roy. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I had a question for your guest. You know, during the presidential campaign, I think it was the McCain campaign, that their initial proposal was that for underwater borrowers who are in trouble, you go out and you get a new appraisal, and let's say they owed $500,000, and then all of a sudden the new appraisal comes in at $250,000. What the lender would do is basically issue a new mortgage for $250,000. Now they've got to take a loss on the other $250,000, but in exchange the federal government would guarantee that new loan. That seems to me to be a pretty clear way of trying to get people to stay in their homes. Of course, if the borrower can't, you know, if they can't make the payments on a $250,000 mortgage, then you go to foreclosure. But
yeah,
that seemed to be a much more transparent way to do it. Mm.
Robert Shiller, do you agree?
Well, yeah. Now, if we're going to do this, the mortgage owner would have to agree to this, I suppose. It reminds me a little bit of the Hope for Homeowners Act that we created in July, which was to have it was an FHA insurance that would, if mortgage originators would agree to lower the or adjust the terms. But that wasn't taken up by many banks. It's essentially a failure. We have to find a program that does appeal to and addresses the concerns of mortgage investors as well. Mm. And we they're losing money. There's the other side of it. Some of our listeners who are homeowners are thinking of themselves as homeowners, but on the other side, they have a pension plan, and it may have invested in some mortgage securities, and so they're on the other side as well. Hmm. We have to take into account everybody's everyone's interest. And so some plan like Roy describes may be workable, and we have to go through the details and find out.
Susan Wachter, this plan seemed much more detailed than the banking plan that Timothy Geithner presented last week, Treasury Secretary. Was that by design or by necessity?
Oh, both. I think, obviously, there have to be the details if this is to roll out on March 4th. Also, there are clearly problems of moral hazard and disincentives in any plan that comes to the assistance of struggling home owners. And this plan has thought through that to some degree and has put in incentives to not redefault. That's a good thing. By the way, I think this plan's a little bit more than, as Bob Shiller says, interesting, clever. I think it's a wise plan. My concern is the implementation and the willingness of the banks to go along. And that, too, is, as Bob said, there are mortgage owners out there. And we are, in the end, all mortgage owners. The problem right now is there's excess foreclosures. And mortgage owners don't have the incentives or the resources to service mortgages that don't go into foreclosure and that shouldn't go into foreclosure. And that's going to have to be ramped up very quickly.
I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point. Just to follow up with that, Susan, this bill does not need approval by Congress, then, if the implementation is March.
It doesn't appear to change laws. There's a piece of it that talks about bankruptcy reform, but that's not explicitly part of the package.
Let's try to get another one of our many calls here. Paul is in East Haddam, Connecticut. Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Hi. I'd like to know if there is some provision of this plan that will assist renters who have been renting for years, chasing the housing bubble while these prices went up, that can actually afford to buy a house now, that have a good credit rating, but there's really no mortgage money available for them.
Paul, thank you. Robert Shiller, what about the renters?
Well, not in the proposal that Obama just announced yesterday, but in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which he signed 2 days ago, everything's happening so fast here. There was a tax credit for first-time home buyers. I think it was $8,000, and so that's in there as support for people like Paul.
Susan, back to this point about implementation in March. How long will it take to do these workouts? I mean, you can't refinance 5 million loans or more in a month. How quickly do you see this implementation being done effectively?
It's going to have to be done one by one, and that's going to take time. The Fannie Freddie piece of it can be very quick, and that is the good news because that's going to put money in people's pockets right away, helping the overall economy. But the part of it that's coming through the banking system will take months for it to ramp up. Nonetheless, it's down the line. It will help us, and even the prospect, as we see it working, will help put a bottom into housing prices, stopping this overshooting on the downside.
Robert Shiller, as an economist, I'm just curious, do you worry with yet another multi-billion-dollar plan that we're adding just a crushing amount of money to our national debt already massively growing?
Well, of course, one has worries like that, but on the other side, we have worries about where the economy is going, and we have to balance both sides of that. We already have also guarantees, like Fannie and Freddie are guaranteeing mortgages, and if the economy goes further down, it may end up losing on those guarantees, and there may have to be another government bailout from taxpayer money. But the hope is that, and this is Keynesian economics, which is very central. It ought to be central.
Yeah.
And the hope is that if we do something to stimulate the economy, economic growth will more than pay for all of these losses. And that's the real wisdom that I think we got from John Maynard Keynes. And it's really informing our economic policy now. It's hard to predict, but this stimulus may ultimately help us all.
Only a short few seconds left here. Susan Wachter, are there any long-term provisions here so that we don't face another housing bubble in 10 or 20 years from now?
They're not in this plan, and we're certainly going to have to see that going forward.
Robert Schiller, you agree?
That is a theme of my book. I keep coming back to that.
You have many books.
I write a lot of books.
Yes.
But the important thing to remember is that the Roosevelt Plan put in place, this is in the 1930s, structures that are helping us today with this crisis, like deposit insurance. They created the FHA. They created Fannie Mae in the 1930s. And also they freed up the Fed to do a more effective work. So we are really thankful to the Roosevelt administration, without which we would be in much worse condition right now.
Well, I appreciate the time of both my guests today. Robert Schiller, joining us from New York City, professor of economics at Yale University, collaborates with economist Carl Case to produce the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, the most widely used database of housing prices in the United States. Professor Schiller, thank you very much for your time, sir.
My pleasure, Jane.
Also, Susan Wachter has been with us from Laguna Beach, California, professor of finance and real estate at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. Professor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation, listeners. Download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point.